something interesting. I'm Gary Zimek, by the way. Welcome to Spirit of the Morning. Dave Parker just
said... Is that who you are?
Dave Parker just said, are you ready? And Frank Eliason, our director of operations, I wonder what would happen if I would have said no. I don't think I have a choice.
We're going live anyway.
Well, haven't we done that before?
We are. I don't know. That's just something I was thinking about. Do I have a choice to say no? But yes, I am ready. Welcome to the show. We have got a great show lined up for you today. Our buddy Tony Rossi from the Christophers will be here to talk about the winners of the 68th Annual Christopher Awards. So we'll talk about that. Also on the program, the director of conferences for Steubenville University, John Beaulieu, will be here to talk about evangelization and how it's not as scary as we think. So that's what's coming up. We got Best Lent Ever. We got music. We got lots more, but let's kick it off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this new day. We thank you for all of the blessings in our lives. We thank you for the ability to come together here on Holy Spirit Radio to proclaim your good news. Father, we lift up all of our petitions, whatever they may be. We ask you to help us with anything we need. We ask you to bless us. We ask you to bless our family. We ask you to bless our Holy Spirit Radio family. We ask you to use us to do your work this day. Please speak through us here at the station so we may proclaim your good news. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before we get started, I want to say hello to my friends at St. Robert Bellarmine Parish. Tonight is the final day of the parish mission. Dave and Frank, by the way, we're getting a lot of reports from people who listen to us and who actually like us. Frank, check this out. Somebody last night, well, I'll say who it is, our friend Ed Klink from Man Up
Early.
He said that he thinks Dave Parker is funny.
But I said looks aren't everything.
That's right.
Right.
And he said, we were talking last night, Ed's been really great. He's been coming to the parish mission. He said, yeah, Frank tells me that he has to keep an eye on you two guys. I said, yeah, Ed, Frank's the smart one. Which, Frank, I mean, you're a smart guy, but that's not saying so much.
Wow.
You're gonna be out of the three of us.
Whoa.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah. Well, okay.
I don't know how you should take that, Dave.
I know. Well, listen. Well, Frank, I mean, maybe we should leave. Okay. I want to join a union. Better be careful.
I am fired up.
I want
up
my
today.
Rep. No.
I'm fired up today. I love doing this show. Frank, by the way, you know, I don't get a chance to say this a lot, but you're very humble. You don't get a lot of credit for what you do here. I just want to say again, that tribute you did for Mother Angelica yesterday was phenomenal. Great work.
It was a lot of fun. She was inspiring and so important to the station. The funniest part was in that was the clip of her talking about the Italian market.
I can't believe you found that.
All I was doing was trying to figure out.
Frank stayed up all night looking for that.
No, I didn't know it existed. I was actually looking for other clips, certain clips.
Yeah.
And I was going through our files and trying to find it. And as soon as I found it, I was like, you know what? I don't care what I was looking for. I have to play this. And so I kind of started focusing in on that. But it was really funny. It was sitting in some weird folder on the computer. Mm-hmm. No clue how I even drifted into that folder. There's nothing else there. And it said Italian.
The Holy Spirit, brother.
It said Italian market. And I said, what's this? So I clicked on it.
Right.
And it was Mother.
Yeah. Wow.
So there's some type of inspiration, divine intervention there, to point that out. But, you know, I love the fact that when we can share, you know, people like Mother Angelica and, you know, there is a connection to Philadelphia in many ways. There's a connection to the people that listen to this show, whether it be the way that she inspired people that listen to Holy Spirit Radio. Or just, you know, when she has been in town, you talked about her being in Valley Forge and you listened to her. Mm-hmm. You know, these are things that, you know, to kind of highlight that, I think is a really important part of this show. Mm-hmm. So I'm just thrilled that I accidentally found that on Friday.
And it was great. And the wonderful thing about Mother is she was so real. And that's what we try to do on this show.
She was
Listen.
So real. Right now, I'm not going to look at meat the same way. And what was it? Was it bacala?
That was funny.
Is that pepper or are those flies? Have to be discerning about
but
that.
But she was real, and that's what we try to do on this show. Look, we're not perfect. We mess up, but we're real, and that's what Mother
She told it like she saw it, and she was very true to herself, true to her her heart, and it's true to God. And, you know, but she also did it from a positive manner. She'd have no problem telling you you're wrong in certain ways.
Right.
As she has a history of doing. But she did it in a very godly way. It wasn't like, you know, pointing fingers or anything along those lines.
Absolutely.
And I think more often than not, people much rather say, oh, you're bad. Yeah. She never said you're bad.
Mm-hmm.
So we all sin. Yeah. You know, and she just had this way about her. And I think that, you know, to kind of bring that human side out.
Yep.
And that to me is what the Italian Market cut did.
That was beautiful.
Was showed
it was.
Her human side that she absolutely had. And I do like when we bring that out in the show.
And real quickly, yesterday, the network, every show was dedicated to the anniversary of her
death. Oh, nice. Nice.
And through the day, when I would have it on at home or driving in the car, yes.
And we played at 4 o'clock yesterday. We actually played the world over, but not normally we play the Thursday world over from the Thursday before, so people who missed it during the prime time could have the chance to hear it. But instead, we played the one from when she passed away and the tribute show that they had.
That was a great show.
And so, you know, I thought that was really fitting for the day. Mm-hmm. But yes, I enjoyed what we did yesterday. I think it was something special about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it really was. Now, I also want to point out, so we got something special going on later. And it's what I love about this show. And I mean, I obviously care a lot about this show. But yeah.
Frank and I especially, right?
Yeah. We're doing things...
Wow.
I don't know.
He made you lost for words there.
Well, I don't know what he just said. I'm trying to figure it out, but I got a show to do. Listen.
So go for it, brother.
I haven't had enough coffee yet.
We do things differently here, to say the least, but Thursday, we're doing something that I love. I love music. I mean, obviously, I'm a musician. I love music. We're doing a live music program. And this, Frank, is one of the things that we like to do. We invite musicians into the studio. So we're going to have Teresa Peterson, Dana Catherine.
She's incredible.
And, she is. And she's got two other musical artists, Dana Catherine and Luke Spehar. They're going to be here along with the president of Abbey Fest. They're here to promote a special concert series that they're doing this weekend, which we will, by the way, be broadcasting live Friday night from Nativity Parish. Mm-hmm. But they're going to be performing live in the studio.
Exactly. But it's really funny because I really think somehow we have to get people to actually understand how small these studios are. It's not like we're sitting in like huge studios. You're sitting in a relatively tight space. You're going to have three different music groups, plus a guest, plus us. But you know what? That makes it fun. And, you know, I think it makes it exciting because each time we do this, it's like we have to figure something new out.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to accomplish X and, you know, be able to do it in the right way? So I'm really looking forward to it, and I think it's going to be fun putting that together.
Yeah, it is. And yesterday I was in contact with the gentleman who manages and has created another Catholic music group. They're called A Ray of Hope. Mm-hmm. I've seen them live. They are really good. They performed at the World Meeting of Families. They even do some rap. I mean that's different from, I don't know if we're going to...
You know, but there's something special about what they do. And you were describing this to me, and I think for people to know what they do, like in their live show, is kind of fascinating.
They
come out like the street performers.
Yep.
And then what do?
And then these two gentlemen, and I forget what they're called, the Christian Brothers or whatever. They are literally Christian Brothers. They're religious, and they take off their street outfits and they have their collars on, and and they rap about Jesus. Okay. It's very very different.
And so what makes that music special is it's reaching people in different ways, and it's things you don't expect. You know, and that's what makes that interesting. You know, you don't expect that could come from a religious person.
Say, are they local, regional?
They're from the New York area. They're about 2 hours away. And in addition to that, they have a full band, and they do some contemporary Christian songs. So it's a complete mix of music. They speak. They talk about the Lord. Anyway, it's a really good mix.
Do they need any backup? Maybe the three of us can, you know.
Don't talk about me. I'm never backing up. No.
But
you don't want me singing.
You don't want me rapping.
The good thing is that they're going to make the trek down from the 2 hours away. They're going to be on the show live doing some acoustic music. So that we're working on more of that. We're going to continue to bring you the best that we can in Catholic radio. We're different. We're a cutting edge here. We don't even know what we're doing, but we're going to keep doing it.
Ouch, man. We're cutting edge.
All right.
Yeah, we're sharp.
With that in mind, this is another one of my favorite features.
Gary's the sharp one today. He's like slicing and dicing us up.
I was complimenting you. I'm slicing and dicing Parker.
That's why. Hey. All right. Bring it on, brother. Bring it on. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Gary.
I brought you candy yesterday. You have to be nice to me.
At least a Wednesday, right?
Okay. All right. We got 2 minutes left. Let me reel myself in here. I'll tell you what. I'm coming to the end of my Lenten speaking engagements. I'm wrapping
and
up my last parish mission, so I'm a little punchy today. Let's do it.
Don't get me started.
Let's do the gospel. Now, this comes from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem, at the Sheep Gate, a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, with 5 porticos. In these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am on my way, someone else gets down there before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your mat and walk." Immediately the man became well, took up his mat and walked. Now, that was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to carry your mat." He answered them, "The man who made me well told me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is this man who told you, 'Take it up and walk?'" The man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away since there was a crowd there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple area and said to him, "Look, you are well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went and told the Jews that Jesus was the one who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews began to persecute Jesus because he did this on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Here we go again.
Yes.
Jesus miraculously heals somebody, but we've got some of these clowns, these knuckleheads, I mean, let's be honest, who say, "But wait a minute, he performed a miracle, he healed him, but he did it on the Sabbath."
Yes.
That's wrong.
That's wrong. So, therefore, anybody he healed doesn't count. You know?
I mean,
people like to judge. You know, I've been told I can't do anything, so you can't.
That's what we need. That's the message. Let's be careful not to fall into that trap because we can all do it at times. I'm not going to have any more coffee because I am wound up as,
yes,
as
you
much
are,
as
brother.
I already need to be. When we come back, you grab some coffee. Tony Ross is going to be here. We'll be talking to Christopher Orr.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 28th. Today we celebrate St. Catherine of Bologna. Artists find a patron in today's saint, a woman who served the Lord in obscurity as a member of a semi-monastic religious community. Catherine was born in Bologna, Italy, in 1413. Well off and well educated, she developed a special interest and talent in painting. Years later, as a nun, Catherine spent time doing manuscript illustrations and painting miniatures. At the age of 17, she joined a group of religious women. Several years later, the group became part of the Poor Clares. As a young sister, she worked as convent baker and portress. Later, she served as novice mistress and finally as abbess. Whatever her role and responsibilities, Catherine had a reputation for holiness and many spiritual gifts. Wherever she lived, she drew young women to join her in the Poor Clare life. In addition to her major work, Treatise on the 7 Spiritual Weapons Necessary for Spiritual Warfare, Catherine is credited with writing 12 poems, 11 other brief treatises, and 2 letters. Her writings are thought to have played an important role in the understanding of the late medieval vernacular. Catherine died in 1463 and was canonized in 1712. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
I love the way you hold me. I love the way you hold me. Time for my friends, no time to chit chat. Problems at my job, wondering what to do. I know I should be working, but I'm thinking of you. And just when I feel this crazy world is gonna bring me down, that's when you're.
smile comes around. Ooh, I love the way you hold me by my side. You'll always be. You take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love the way you hold me in your arms. I'll always be. You take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can express. I can't imagine even loving you less. Lord, I love the way you hold me. Tide a wave and put my feet on the ground. Forever in my heart, always on my mind. It's crazy how I think about you all of the time. And just when I think I'm about to figure you out, you make me wanna sing and shout. I love the way you hold me by my side. You'll always be. You take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love the way you hold me in your arms. I'll always be. You take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can express. I can't imagine even loving you less. Lord, I love the way you hold me. You've done. Wish I could tell you in a short story or poem, but all I have is my voice and this guitar, and you have my heart. Oh, I love the way you hold me by my side. You'll always be. You take each and every day, make you special in some way. I love the way you hold me in your arms. I'll always be. You take each and every day, every day. I love the way you hold me.
And that was Hold Me by Jamie Grace featuring Toby Mac. I am Gary Zimak. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. The time right now is 7:18. Let's take a quick look at your forecast for the Philadelphia area. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, it is 50 degrees. Today we're going to have showers and thunderstorms likely before 10 a.m. Then some more showers and possibly a thunderstorm later in the day. We will have a high near 60 degrees. Tonight, chance of showers before 11 p.m. with some patchy fog, low around 47. Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 62. At the moment in Southampton, it's 50 degrees. In Malvern, it is 48 degrees. And in Coatesville, it is also 48 degrees. Well, we are blessed on this program, and I really mean that, to every day have with us Tony Rossi and his Christopher Minute. Very, very important part of what we do here at Spirit in the Morning. Tony joins us each month also live to talk about a number of different topics. Today, he's here to share with us the winners of the 68th Annual Christopher Awards. This is really cool. I'm really glad he could join us. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Gary. Thanks so much for having us on this Christopher Awards announcement day.
Oh, this is so exciting. Now, today is the day that the awards officially get announced. Is that correct?
It is correct. Yeah, the winners, we let them know a few weeks ago, but today is the first day we're making it public.
Boy, that is great. Tony, these awards were created way back in 1949. Is that true?
Yeah, even at that point, our founder, the Christopher's founder, Father Keller, could see that media and entertainment could have a positive effect on the people watching, could impact the way they live their lives and how they see the world. So he wanted to recognize books, films, and TV programs that what he said affirmed the highest values of the human spirit and reflect that reflect gospel values and the ideal that it's better to light a candle than curse the darkness.
Yeah.
So we've been doing it since then.
Tony, it's great because we hear a lot of criticism about the media, and a lot of it's justified. But what I like about the Christophers, and this is why I like to have you guys as a part of this show, is rather than to highlight all of the bad, the negative things we see in the media, you guys are lifting up the good things.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was Father Keller who said this, or one of our former directors. He compared it to, you know, it's not enough to pull out weeds. You got to plant something beautiful, flowers in their place. So that's what we're trying to do with these awards and really with everything we do. We're not the weed pullers. We're more like the flower planters.
I love it. I love it. That's why we're so glad to have you on the show. Let's talk a little bit about some of the categories, and maybe can you share the winners in the different categories?
Absolutely. Well, first listed on the press release is the TV and cable category, and we have six winners in there. One of them is a segment of the 60 Minutes show. It's called Gold Star Parents, and it's about parents whose children have been killed while serving in the military, and the support they get from another group of moms and Marines. And there's another program called America Reframed in the Game, was a documentary film about this inner-city girls' high school soccer team who face poverty and discrimination in an underfunded school, but they try to pursue big dreams anyway. Mm-hmm. Another one is the reality series Born This Way, an episode called Bachelor Pad. Born This Way is a reality series about young adults with Down syndrome. And one of the things the show does really well is, you know, sometimes people have this perception that if a person has Down syndrome, they lack quality of life. But what this show does really is that it shows that people with Down syndrome have a joyful, chaotic normalcy to their lives, just like all of us do. And this was just one really highlight episode about the young adults pursuing living on their own and pursuing work, things that all of us do.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's also Dolly Parton's Christmas of Many Colors was a really great face and family-friendly movie that ran this past Christmas about the singer's childhood. A documentary called Marathon, the Patriots Day Bombing, which was a really powerful look at the people who lost limbs in the Boston terror attack and what they're going through to reclaim their lives. And then finally in TV cable is the pilot episode of the hit NBC series This Is Us, which dealt with adoption and forgiveness in really beautiful ways.
Mm. And by the way, Tony, we are going to have this press release linked at spiritinthemorning.com, so if anybody's listening, you don't have to remember all these, but I would really suggest you take a look at the link, look at the press release, and try to find some of these programs because they're out there, Tony, and that's what I like about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're calling attention to the positive, which otherwise we might miss some of these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, and probably the almost easier to find than the TV stuff is the feature films, where we have Hacksaw Ridge, which everybody knows is Mel Gibson's return to directing, about the Congressional Medal of Honor winner Desmond Doss. He was a conscientious objector. He didn't want to fight in the war, but he was willing to save lives in the war, in World War II, in the Battle of Okinawa, and he wound up saving 75 men without ever firing a single shot from his gun, which is really an amazing story.
Yeah.
And then there's Hidden Figures, the story of the three African-American mathematicians, the women who faced down racism and sexism, and they really helped win the space race in the U.S.
Wow.
The third is a smaller movie called The Hollers, directed by John Krasinski from The Office, and it stars him. And it's really I was surprised at how pro-family this movie is, you know, because sometimes our culture is fear of having children and parent-child relationships can be difficult, but this movie really takes them on in a dramatic, funny, heartfelt way, and it shows that it is very pro-family in terms of, you know, having kids and everything like that. And Queen of Katwe was a Disney film, again, based on a true story, a girl named Fiona. In Uganda, she gets set on a new track in life when a local church ministry's chess coach discovers her innate talent for the game, and he guides her toward becoming an international champion.
Mm. Wow. And, you know, as you're going through this list, I'm realizing I heard of Hacksaw Ridge, but there are a lot of these movies that I've never heard of before. So that's really great. Right? It's good you're calling attention to them.
Exactly. And as we post this, you know, on our website, I'm going to go down and each one.
Yep.
Now, on Hacksaw Ridge, if I can say, Tony, I'm a retired Medical Service Corps officer from the Army. And that was so, and basically, you know, worked in the Army Medical Department and with medics. That was so touching and poignant. I was beyond words. I mean, it made me, this guy was phenomenal, beyond, you know. What he put up with, the ridicule, because he, you know, he just wanted to save lives, you know, for the Lord.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it, with Hacksaw Ridge, and even in the other movies to a smaller degree, you know, we find, you know, when religion or faith are portrayed in the media, a lot of times when they get attention, it's for the negative stuff. But really, when you look at a lot of these movies, you see the positive influence of faith and religion. You know, Hacksaw Ridge is the most obvious example. But even in Hidden Figures, these were all church-going women who were sustained by their churches. In Queen of Katwe, the girl, again, it's a church ministry that kind of guides her along the way. And even in The Hollars, to a lesser degree, there's a pastor character who has an interesting effect on the goings-on. So each of these movies has a little bit of God in them. It doesn't necessarily hit you over the head with the message, but it's always there underneath everything.
That's so important. Tony, there's also, you have several categories. We have about 2 minutes left. You have several categories relating to books. Can you highlight some of those?
Sure. We have our Books for Adults category. We have 6 winners in that. I'll just point out a couple, especially you might be of interest to a Catholic audience. One is Operating on Faith from Loyola Press. It's by Matt Weber, who maybe a lot of people know from Catholic TV, his show there. Mm-hmm. He had, after becoming a newlywed, after getting married, he suffered some life-threatening stomach problems that he needed surgery on, and that whole experience gave him a new perspective on his love for his wife and his perspective on God, and he saw how his wife was really acting like Jesus toward him, the way she cared for him, and it's a really moving, and it's also a funny book, and there's also Pint-Sized Prophets by Indiana doctor Chuck Beaton. He's a pediatric rehabilitation doctor for kids, and he was inspired by Mother Teresa, met her years ago, and was inspired to start this ministry for kids by her, and he's really changing lives. And we also have the Books for Young People category, for books for kids from preschool to the young adult, kind of teen years, 13, 14. So, yeah, again, if you want to see those, you just go to our website, go to Gary's link, and you'll see everything there.
And these awards will be officially presented in New York City on May the 16th, correct?
Yes, Tuesday evening, May 16th. We're going to have the ceremony. Wow. A lot of the winners will be able to join us. So it's always a fun evening.
Great. Tony, you do such good work. Thanks for being such a big part of our show. Now, of course, we will have this link at spiritinthemorning.com. But if people want to find out more about the Christophers, where is the best place to go?
Best place to go is Christophers.org. You can find links to all our different media projects, which are print and radio and online and youth contests. We got a lot going on there.
And you guys are also on Facebook, I believe, and Twitter as well?
Yes, we are. Twitter is at Christophers, Inc., I-N-C, and Facebook is, well, just Google, type in the Christophers. I don't remember our address there.
Right. Yeah, that's how I found it. So, yes, definitely, I encourage you to check out the great work that Tony Rossi and the Christophers do. Hey, Tony, thanks, brother. You are such a big part of the show, and you're always there for us, and we're really, really grateful. Thank you so much.
Right, I appreciate being on again, Gary. Thanks so much. Take care, Dave.
All right, God bless you. God bless you. Tony Rossi, the communications director for the Christophers, talking about the winners of the Christopher Awards. Boy, I'll tell you, that's so good that they highlight the positive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The positive films and TV shows and books, right?
Yeah, there's so much negativity out there in the other media.
That's right. When we come back, we're going to talk about evangelization with John Beaulieu. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. President Donald Trump is preparing to sign an executive order aimed at rolling back former President Barack Obama's plan to curb global warming. The order will suspend, rescind, or flag for review more than a half dozen measures. On the list is a review of the Clean Power Plan, which restricts greenhouse gas emissions at coal-fired power plants. A longtime Archdiocese of Philadelphia official is due back in court as lawyers debate how many abuse victims should testify at his retrial. Monsignor William Lynn is being retried after serving nearly 3 years of a 3 to 6 year sentence in a child endangerment case. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court threw out the conviction over weeks of testimony from abuse victims not directly tied to his case. A new trial judge will ask prosecutors today to call fewer than a dozen victims, down from 23 at the first trial. And the massive Christian burial for Cardinal William Keeler, who headed the Archdiocese of Baltimore for 18 years, takes place today. Keeler retired in 2007 as head of the Archdiocese. He died Thursday at age 86. His body has been lying in repose at Baltimore's Basilica of the National Shrine of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary since yesterday. A funeral mass is this afternoon. Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore will celebrate the mass, and Cardinal Timothy Dolan, Archbishop of New York, will give the homily. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. For 10-year-old Autumn Blinn of Rome, New York, the tradition began when her grandfather started kidney dialysis treatments a couple of years ago. She designed and made a special pillow for him, one he liked so much that he showed it around to other patients who soon wanted one of their own. Grandpa said, "Autumn, I'll make you all the pillows you want." Well, that was 300 pillows ago, and she's still at it. Autumn has formed Pillows of Love, and she gives them all away to local hospitals and other institutions, like a Ronald McDonald House in New York City. Designs vary, some have floral patterns, some have butterflies. Regardless, they all bring comfort to their recipients, and Autumn is happy to bring a smile to their faces. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
If you are lonely, when you feel afraid,
People said amen. That was Matt Maher. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. Thank you so much for tuning in. Evangelization is a scary word. I was just leading a parish mission in Florida last week, and they're having an evangelization program there where they're trying to get people to go out and evangelize. One of the women spoke to me on the side, and she said, I don't like this. I don't like the idea of having to go on the street corner and evangelize. I think a lot of times it is scary to people, but we're going to talk about it now. As you'll see, it's not as frightening as you may think. John Beaulieu is here with us right now. He coordinates Steubenville conferences for tens of thousands of young adults, for youth and for adults every summer. And he's here to tell us that evangelizing is not as overwhelming as we may think. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Gary.
Thanks for joining us on the program today.
Yep.
Hey, listen, John, I want to ask you, evangelization, as Catholics, many of us think that it's not our job. Many of us think that it means that we have to stand on a street corner with a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. It's not all about that, is it?
No. In fact, I would say that evangelization is really letting Christ live his life through us and being ready to tell people about what an awesome experience that is.
Wow.
You know, we live our faith fully alive in front of people, and we reveal the love and joy that Jesus alone can bring to somebody's life. We're evangelizing. Mm. And sometimes we don't even have to say a word. We just, you know, we're living our life out loud and not being ashamed of being Catholic and loving the Lord. And it's something where, you know, really evangelization is about passing on the faith, and that's more caught than taught. And so if we are engaged in living an authentically Catholic life, we're already 90% of where we need to be in order to be good evangelists.
And I think that, and I found this in my own life, the closer I've grown to Christ, the more you get to know Jesus Christ, the more you want to share him with other people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the first thing that if somebody really wants to take evangelization seriously and they're feeling this movement of God's Spirit saying, look, you need to move on this and share the faith, the first thing is that you have to have that heart that loves Jesus more than anything.
Right.
You know,
right.
We are passing on the overflow of what God is doing in our lives to our brothers and sisters out there by witnessing, by sharing that goodness that God is pouring into our lives. So we need to have that intimacy with God, that deep relationship. And when you have that, you can't help but want to pass it on to somebody else because it's such a joyful, wonderful experience.
And I totally agree. And I've been to Steubenville. I've spoken at Steubenville. It's an amazing place. You guys are doing fantastic work out there. And the conferences, talk a little bit about these conferences that you organize.
Yeah, you know, I'm part of a team of 10 people here. We're called the Christian Outreach Office, and we just celebrated 40 years of adult conferences, and then the next year, 40 years of youth conferences. And it started off with the vision of Father Michael Scanlon, who, you know, we lost in January.
Yes.
He went home to receive his eternal reward, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And while we mourn his loss, we are definitely here to carry on his legacy. And this summer, you know, he had one conference that had a couple hundred priests that came to our campus in 1975 that started a movement that this year will culminate with us doing 33 conferences across the United States and Canada that collectively will serve about 67,000 Catholics, youth, young adults, and adults.
Wow, that's incredible. And they're not just all local to Steubenville. They, as you said, they're all around the country and in Canada as well.
We have two of our conferences out in Canada. We have four conferences out on the West Coast. We have conferences, I mean, literally coast to coast. 25 youth conferences. We've now re-engaged in building out our young adult conference outreach. And we have one in Milwaukee, Houston, and one in Atlanta. And we're looking to expand those over the next several years as well. So, you know, God keeps putting it on our hearts to try to reach more people, you know, to bring more Catholics into deeper faith. And we're just trying to, you know, keep up with what the Spirit's leading us to do.
Right. And that's great. John, what would you say to the person who's listening who says, okay, I feel I should do this, but I don't know where to start. I don't know how to evangelize. Maybe I don't know enough about the Catholic Church. What would you say to that person? How do you get started? Does it have to be that complicated?
No, it doesn't. You know, at the center of everything that we believe as Catholics is the person of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And when we want to evangelize, what we're really wanting to do is to introduce them into that life-changing encounter with his love. Mm. And so I think, you know, number one, we need to be a people of prayer. You know, it is the Spirit that activates every part of evangelization. It is not a human effort. It is really us being instruments of what the Spirit is doing. And the Spirit is always there to reveal Christ and to make his love known. You know, Romans chapter 5, it says, you know, hope does not disappoint because the love of the Father has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So we really want people to experience in a personal way that love of the Father. And that happens when we pray and let the Spirit move through us and aren't afraid. You know, and that's a big thing. It's just getting to the point where we say, you know, my life is really not my own. It is a gift from God, and I want to have a missionary heart. I want to be somebody that, if God says go, I say yes. And so we pray, you know, let us have missionary spirituality and not be afraid to go when God sends us. Now, you know, it helps to really study what the basic kerygma, that kernel core of faith that we believe, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's not complicated. It's God created us in his image and likeness, out of love, to be in communion with him. We broke that communion through sin. Mm-hmm. And all the efforts that God made to redeem man through covenants, we never could hold up our end of the bargain. So finally he sent his only begotten son, who with his own blood, death, and resurrection ratified the final covenant for mankind so that we could have the hope of heaven. And by putting our faith in Christ and trusting in his love, we enter into this new relationship. We become a new creature, and the church is there with every avenue of grace through the sacraments, through the scripture, to guide us, to form us, and to get us ready, not just to be missionaries in this world, but for heaven itself. So I mean, it's not complicated. Yeah. You know, we just have to have confidence and a lot of trust in God that if we go forth with that message, he's going to use it to change lives.
And I think that's the thing to keep in mind. And this, unfortunately, is what trips us up so many times is we feel it's all up to us. This is me. I've got to do this. I've got to have just the right words. But in reality, as you point out, it's the Holy Spirit working through us.
Yeah, there's a real way that when we hear God invite us to share in something special, sometimes we hear it in a voice like God says, be holy like I'm holy. And that's just, right. Oh, I can never do that. Or
yeah.
Go forth and make disciples. Like, oh, I can never.
Yeah.
But that command is an invitation to enter into his life. You know, it is his desire to spread his life and love throughout this whole world. He wants to set everyone on fire with the Holy Spirit. And he gives us the opportunity to be that instrument and to experience the joy that he experiences when somebody comes home, like the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son, the father's joy. And we get to share in that.
Yeah.
It's not a burden. It's not a heavy duty. It's an invitation for us to be a part of something amazing. And we need to remember that God always wants us to be like him, you know, full of love, sharing that love, bringing people to the church.
And what a blessing it is. It's an honor that he allows us to help him with his mission.
It is truly humbling, because when we remember it is God's work in us and that we're just the instruments, then every time we move forward and you share the faith and somebody responds, you stand back in amazement and say, God, you work through me. I can't believe this. You know, I'm so grateful for the opportunity, rather than, oh, look what I did.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes, John, it's as simple as inviting somebody to attend a retreat, maybe, mm-hmm. or just giving them a CD or a DVD or giving them a book. Sometimes it can be very simple to evangelize with others.
Yeah, I think one of the keys of being, that missionary spirit is not just living the faith fully, but just be welcoming and inviting.
Okay.
If you think of St. Andrew, you know, there's not a lot of amazing things written about his life in the gospel, you know, but Peter's a major character throughout all four gospels, and he becomes our first pope.
Yeah.
But in the Gospel of John, we hear the story of St. Andrew saying, I think I found the Messiah. Come and meet him.
Yes.
And he invites Peter. I mean, it's a simple invitation. So the first evangelist, as it were, who brought somebody to Christ was Andrew bringing his brother Peter. They both end up as saints, and Peter ends up as the first pope. So you never know what you're going to accomplish when you invite somebody into a deeper discovery of Christ. And like you said, it could be, come to this gathering at our church. Come to this retreat with me. Here, listen to this CD or read this book. These simple invitations and invites unleash grace.
Well, John, I want to thank you for joining us today. You really, you made it a lot less frightening, and I hope everybody listening realizes that you too can be an evangelist, and we're all called to evangelize. If we want to find out more about the Steubenville conferences, is there a place we can go online?
Yeah, our website is www.steubenvilleconferences.com.
Excellent.
And we have 5 unique experiences for adults on our campus every summer. Thousands of people travel from across the country to be a part of them, and they are blessed because the Lord shows up and he pours out his grace. So, you know, come and check out our website. You'll learn everything you need to know about all the great programs and events that we have, and we'd love to be able to have you as a guest this summer.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, brother. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Gary. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. God bless you, my friend. That's John Beaulieu from Steubenville University Conferences telling us, reminding us, that evangelization is not as scary as it sounds. Dave Parker, it's just a matter of getting out and really living or showing people the joy that you have because you have found Jesus.
Yeah. Well, how I met you, Gary, you were on the corner with a bullhorn.
That's right.
I said, who is that guy? Yeah, listen to what a message, you know. Now, seriously, folks, yeah, it is a blessing and an honor, as John says.
Yeah, he lets the Lord lets us share in his work. What an amazing privilege to be able to do that. We are going to go to Best Lent Ever now, play a song, and then when we come back, we're going to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Make sure you don't go anywhere because we are not done yet. Stay tuned.
This is the audio from today's Dynamic Catholic's Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection featuring Matthew Kelly.
Most people who are sick go to the doctor. Not all of them, right? Fascinating, isn't it? Some people can be really, really sick, but they won't go to the doctor. You know, and I don't mean sick with a cold, hey, it'll pass. You know, and some people be really, really sick, and they know they're really sick, and they know it's getting worse, but for whatever reason, they won't go to the doctor. And I think spiritually, we often fall into that category. It's like we know we're sick, we know we need healing, we know we're sinners, we know we need forgiveness, but we won't go to confession. Why? It's staggering. It's fascinating to me. I love confession. I think that it's, again, I think it's genius. You know, not only spiritually, but also psychologically. Because sin is sort of a sad thing. It just makes us sad. Sin is it's a heavy thing. And we do carry it around with us. And I love being able to go to confession and just drop all that stuff off, feel light, feel free, feel like you have a fresh start. I love fresh starts. I love new year. I love a new month. I love fresh starts because you know what I realize? Man, I need a fresh start a lot. I need a clean slate. I need a fresh start. I get myself into all sorts of trouble. Just need a new start, need a fresh start. And there's something really powerful, there's something really practical, something really beautiful about just coming to confession and saying, hey, God, this is who I am. This is what I did. This is what I thought. This is what I didn't do that I should have done. Let's try again and give me more grace and give me more strength and give me more courage. And then back out we go. You know, it's a beautiful thing, I think, to see the light on in the confessional. The light's on. God's waiting for you. And it may have been a long, long time, but I know you'll kick yourself for not having gone a long, long time ago. And if it's something that's regular for you, this is a great time to make a great confession, to make an extraordinary confession, to take a deeper look at your life, to go maybe a little deeper than you have in the past and say, okay, I'm going to come before God. I'll put myself before God and ask him to give me a fresh start. I think that's a thing of beauty. That's a beautiful thing.
That was Matthew Kelly with Dynamic Catholic's Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection. You can experience your best Lent ever by signing up for Dynamic Catholic's free video-based program by going to bestlentever.com.
More enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit. Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Burning down, I was burning.
was The Light in Me by Brandon Heath. I'm Gary Zimak. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. I wanted to mention one thing. I believe I called Franciscan University at Steubenville. I called it Steubenville University just to correct what I said last time. It is Franciscan University. That is who Jack Beaulieu is associated with, Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. All right, let's take a look at the Be Not Afraid Bible verse for the day. It comes from Judges 6:13. Gideon said to him, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are his wondrous deeds about which our ancestors told us when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' For now the Lord has abandoned us and delivered us into the power of Midian." This is a reminder. Here's why I picked this verse. And of course, this comes from my latest book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. So many times in life when these bad things start happening to us, as happened in the day of Gideon when the Israelites were delivered into the hands of the people of Midian, one of their enemies, we sometimes say, "Lord, you've abandoned me. You're letting something tough, difficult happen in my life. You've forgotten about me." What we need to remember is very basic. The Lord loves us. He loves us, and anything that happens, and I mean anything, is an expression of that love. We might not like it, we might not understand it, but if you're struggling with something in your life, just think about that. Think about how much the Lord loves you. And once you realize that, once you make that connection, you're going to understand that He's allowing you to go through certain things because somehow, even though you might not get it, it'll help you to grow closer to Him and one day live with Him forever in heaven. I will have that verse linked at spiritinthemorning.com. I know we have a program announcement. We've got a lot. This has been a busy show. We have a program announcement from Frank Eliason. But before we do that, I think we also have a tweet from Pope Francis.
Tweet from Pope Francis 15 minutes ago. "If we learn to read everything in the light of the Holy Spirit, we realize that everything is grace."
Everything. Not just the good things that happen in life, not just the positive things, everything.
If you read everything in the light of the Holy Spirit.
That's the key.
That's a key, powerful message.
Invite the Holy Spirit to work in your life and to help you understand.
Exactly. So programming note real quick. Today, 2 o'clock, we're going to carry the funeral mass for Cardinal Keeler out of Baltimore. Some people may be interested. The homilist for the mass will be Cardinal Dolan.
Yes, exactly.
So that will be at 2 o'clock today. It's expected to run 2 to 4, but we will be carrying that live.
That's going to be later today on Holy Spirit Radio. Good show today, guys.
Yeah.
Powerful guests. Now, tomorrow on the show, we're going to be joined by Stephen Henley, who is the executive director of Legatus, a Catholic business group. I do a lot of speaking at their meetings. He's going to be here with us, as well as Jim Papandrea, who is an author for Catholic Answers. He wrote a book about the fathers of the church. So we're going to have Jim on the show tomorrow, as well as Stephen Henley. Busy show. Yes. And then remember, Thursday is the all live music show.
Oh, yes.
With Teresa Peterson and company.
Can't wait to have her back.
She really woke us up. That was amazing that day she and her husband, James, came into the studio.
Two incredible people.
Yep. So we're going to have that coming up for you Thursday. And then Friday on the program, Jack Beers from Dynamic Catholic will be back to check in with us and see how we're doing. Is this really our best Lent ever? Yeah. And our buddy Dan Burke will be here.
Guys?
He's good. Jack's going to check on it, so everybody get ready. And then Dan Burke will be here on Friday as well. Well, that's my music. It's time for me to head on out. Hope to see you tonight at St. Robert Bellarmine Parish in Warrington for the final night of the parish mission. Until next time, remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Turn around and say hi. See ya.